Well, hey, everyone, welcome to The Boundless Show. This is Lisa Anderson, and I want to wish you a very Merry Christmas. We are in Christmas weekend, depending on when you are actually hearing this. So, of course, we're excited to wish you a Merry Christmas as we celebrate the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, without whom we would have no hope. So fabulous to wish that here from The Boundless Show. All right, later on in the show, we're actually going to talk about, you know, we still talk about dating, even though it's Christmas, don't we, here at The Boundless Show. So Joshua Rogers is here to answer a question about deal breakers in dating. And you know he will have opinions on that. Bless his heart. We love you, Joshua. For our culture, we have part two of It's a Pokenberry Christmas, our fun Adventures in Odyssey Christmas episode that we are doing. We love Adventures in Odyssey. And so this is just a fun time for you to kind of chill and enjoy something that is not just pure entertainment, but also will have probably a little lesson in there for you as well. Okay, for our roundtable, we're actually going to be talking about making Christmas kind of authentic, like bringing it back to what was originally intended in Christmas, because I think we have, everyone would agree, we've way over commercialized it. We're kind of struggling, maybe some people are, after here in the U.S. a national election, looking forward to a new year, wondering what that means corporately as well as personally and all kinds of stuff. And so fortunately, Andrew, Brandon, and Ashley are here. Hey guys.
Hello.
Hey. And we're going to talk about it, what this means. Okay, we're actually going to, there was a cool in fact, we just had it here at boundless.org, an excerpt from Tim Keller's new book, Hidden Christmas. And you should really read the whole book. I mean, it's a great encouragement, but you can start out with our excerpt as well. He also has written some articles elsewhere on it. But really, it's him exploring the what he calls the hard edges of Christmas and kind of what Christmas is and how we kind of pull back to truly what it means in light of the fact that our culture is trying to pull Christmas away from us and make it a number of other things. And I think we are. I mean, would you guys agree that we're kind of in a weird malaise here? Not even just, I don't think in the U.S. only. I mean, I think worldwide we just feel, I mean, there's like, I mean, again, hey, Merry Christmas, everyone. Let's just talk about this. There's like terror. I mean, there is just a lot of personal stuff going on with people. There are, you know, countries in turmoil on various levels. And so, I don't know, what have you guys felt, you know, ears to the ground? What have you been hearing or what are you feeling even yourself kind of moving into the last month of the year as we have already?
I think people are really weary with 2016.
Yeah.
And just, it seems like there's been a lot of things that have happened, big, sad, even scary stories in the news. And I think we're just kind of ready for, so I think as people anticipate the Christmas season, it's kind of like, all right, let's wrap up 2016 and hope for better things in 2017.
Yeah.
A lot of uncertainty as well, like you said, Lisa, just the state of the political, just in the world, there's just, I feel like the pendulum is starting to swing again, just with how elections have turned out, you know, the populist movements that are starting to gain momentum, and it's just leaving, I think, people just unsure of what's going to happen. And so they're just, it's just hard to really maybe be hopeful or even excited about what might be even coming in 2017, just because 2016 was so crazy.
Well, and it's so sad because they're talking about how, you know, even now at Thanksgiving last month, there were articles out about how people were canceling their Thanksgivings because families didn't even want to gather. People in churches are refusing to speak to each other based on how they voted or chose not to vote or whatever. And so it's like, wow, is that going to influence this weekend as well? Is that going to be part of everyone's Christmas celebration? Or are we going to look hopefully kind of into the new year? I don't know.
That's exactly what I was going to say. I mean, I read the news all the time as a publicist, and it's just like really sad to see how much disunity there is even among Christians and even among evangelical churches. And so I'm really hoping that Christmas will remind us what we all believe and what brings us all together instead of fighting over things that don't necessarily matter so much.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because I know Keller in his book, one of the things he talks about is one of the themes is this whole idea of what he says, dying to live, becoming small to become great and losing yourself to find yourself, which I haven't seen really on any Christmas cards this year. I don't think we're all like, hey, it's Christmas. Let's humble ourselves and be, you know, become smaller. We're kind of all thinking kind of in a frenzied rush, I would say, of just either what am I going to do as far as the obligatory things of parties and gifts I have to buy and all that kind of stuff. But then also what's in it for me? Who's going to be? I think it's easy for us single people to be like, am I going to be forgotten? Am I going to be invited somewhere? What am I going to do? Who's going to think of me? Is this, am I going to just have a big letdown when the first of the year happens? I don't know. It's easy, I think, to get caught up in that. But I mean, I don't know. Do you guys find that tension of the obligations of the season of just your family and friends and the things you're supposed to do? We even have things we have to do here at work. I have to go to the team Christmas party. I got it, you know. And so you just feel kind of pressured by that. I don't know. What do you guys feel are your pressures heading in this year?
Well, I, as an extrovert, love all the parties. I love going to all the Christmas events.
I will
events.
Send you my invitations. And, yeah. No, that's funny. I like them too, for the most part.
This year is the first year I'm having Christmas with my boyfriend and meeting like the rest of his family, and he's coming over to my family. And so there's just natural pressures that come with that. But I think it's going to be really fun. And it's also really exciting, I think, more than obligatory. It's all just new and yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'm feeling more, happy about all the people and things to do than,
Well, that is good. That is very fun.
Yeah, I think I just stress out about the gifts and what to get people, and you want it to be the right thing, and does it cost enough? Is it big enough? And it's everything that it shouldn't be, that the pressure isn't really there, but I put it on myself. And so I think that part is hard too. And then you're just trying to balance that with, like you say, with friends and family relationships, trying to make sure that you're present kind of everywhere you feel like you need to be, but also trying to still take time to be quiet and to have the time that you need to have. I think this Thanksgiving, Christmas seasons tend to really kind of monopolize your personal time if you're not intentional about it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So first married Christmas, Andrew.
Yeah. This is our first Christmas together. And I think it changes a little bit. Well, a lot. Marriage changes things. But, you know, Christmas, my parents always did such a great job of making Christmas so special. And I loved seeing family and getting together with family. And so this year we'll be with Jen's family. And I'm very excited about that, but it's more I'm still getting to know a lot of the extended family and building those relationships. And so it's just different, because if we were with my family, it'd be just enjoying these like relationships I've had my whole life. And with her family, it's investing in a different way, but I'm still excited about it. And I do have that extrovertedness but I think that it takes that intentionality of, I go into something like that where I'm going to see a lot of people, and I want to have an experience with as many people as I can, whether it's a conversation or a word of encouragement or just something. And so I think I go in thinking about that, of how can I make Christmas special for people and have people remember a conversation or something that I did for them, and it just brings warm fuzzies to their heart.
Yeah. Now, would you say, because I know even from Jen that she has a great family, but would you say that you have expectations? Like, I mean, you have years under your belt with your own family of things that you've come to expect, things that you know. Are you holding that kind of loosely, or are you kind of like, well, stealing yourself for maybe some disappointment if it doesn't.
I don't anticipate being disappointed at all. Okay. And when we were engaged, I spent Christmas down there as well. And so I know all the wonderful things that we'll do, and I'm looking forward to it. It's different, and it's different than what I grew up with, but they do Christmas really well and really get the meaning of the season. Mm-hmm. And so,
Okay. So what are you guys, I mean, whether your own expectations or disappointments or hopes or whatever, what are you going to do really to ensure kind of that Christmas is real in that sense, you know, and that you don't get caught up in all this? And then how, I mean, what do you think that we could do even as boundless listeners to encourage the people around us who probably aren't in quite a hopeful place or aren't in, you know, I think there are a lot of people who struggle with whether it's singleness or maybe they're dealing with a very hard health issue this year or they, you know, are estranged from their family or something like that. I mean, I don't know. How do we infuse hope in our circles of friendships in light of all that?
For me, I think every time I go into a Christmas season, I want to find pockets of time where I can be quiet and really meditate on the meaning of Christmas. What Keller's really bringing out in his book and thinking about, you know, how Christ humbled himself in just being born and the way that he was born, mm-hmm. Being born into poverty and really born to die. Like that was from the very beginning that he had a purpose and that was to give his life. And I think that it's easy to go through Christmas and get all caught up in everything else and not have time where we stop and just adore Christ who became flesh for us. Mm-hmm. And that all that, like the everything that we enjoy is because of what he accomplished for us. Mm-hmm. And so really, like, because I think even the Christmas songs, we can enjoy them because they're familiar. We can enjoy them because they make us nostalgic or remind us of our childhood. But really, it should be a time where our worship is just dialed up. Mm-hmm. When we really think about the story in fresh ways and think, man, it's amazing what he, like, just how far he descended.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like it's really cool that God gave us a gift of Christmas just to take time to remember specifically how beautiful it is that he came. Because it's so easy as a Christian, you know, sometimes just to get caught up in the story and you've heard it 100 times and you know John 3:16, you know all the right answers, but you kind of forget just the weight of what it means that he came because mm-hmm. he wanted you to be close to God. Mm-hmm. And just like that, I mean, it's a big deal if a prisoner is set free. It's a big deal if a slave has a new name or if you are become a child of the holy God. Like, those are big deals. And a lot of times we just make them very like complacent, mediocre things. And I think it's not that hard to take time just to sit and remember that mm-hmm. God, what he did was incredible. Mm-hmm. And to remember that, like, in spite of my sin, and I think a side note, when you remember the weight of your sin, it makes it so much even more beautiful when you remember, wow, I've done all of this. And God knew before I was even born that I was going to do all of this. And yet he still decided to choose me and he still decided to save me. And I think when you take time to remember that, just like John Newton, when he wrote Amazing Grace, he said, you know, two things I remember, one that I'm a great sinner and that I have a great Savior. Then you can sing like Amazing Grace. This is such a sweet sound. And then you can really honor and appreciate what Christmas is really about.
Yeah, Christmas has always been a very kind of important celebration for my family, almost more than Thanksgiving, just in a time to be together and just growing up in a upper middle class environment, always kind of having things. And so Christmas for me, I tend to really dwell just on those that are hurting, those that don't have. So it, not that I don't serve throughout the rest of the year, but I really try to make it a point to either do something through a church or just to be able to go out and actually just love on those people that can't have that same experience that mm-hmm. that I was able to have growing up. And so I've run into people, I know people that just have had, you know, very opposite lives that I've had just as in a family, Christian family and all that. And so that really just kind of, especially around Christmas, it really kind of gets to me. Like, I want them to be able to experience some type of joy. Even if I could be going through something, it's still, I want to meet them where they're at and be able to at least show, you know, somewhat of a, I don't know, Christ love. I mean, I always get the image of even like the inn, you know, just what can you do mm-hmm. to kind of help someone that is in need and hopefully allow them to have some type of positive experience from that, especially around Christmas too.
It's so cool because, you know, Keller again talking about one of the themes being light and darkness, you know, mm-hmm. and how Jesus Christ really did pierce the world and transform it as a result. But that idea almost, Brandon, what you're saying of mm-hmm. What am I doing? I think so many people, Christian and non-Christian alike, go into Christmas very hopeful every year. It's kind of like that everyone gets all hopeful and then has their hopes dashed because they build up this idea of Christmas and then it doesn't meet their expectations, or they are in, you know, conflict with family, or things just aren't working out as they'd hoped and stuff. And so it really is one of those times where I think people are so open to the gospel and open to being encouraged and open to coming into your home. Like you can, you know, even my mom and I, we both have collected for a while those little Christmas houses, the little lit ones. And so we were setting them up the other night and I was like, here we are setting up these houses, getting, you know, and it's kind of like laborious and stuff. But I was like, we should maybe like have some of our neighbors over or something and just do something and just say, you know, pop in for 30 minutes, you know, and just chill and grab some cider or something like that. And so it's kind of because otherwise all it is, my only memory of December is I spent so much time setting up these houses and to what purpose I felt obligated to, you know, and then it's really like, no, it really could be fun and give the chance to connect with people in a very real way. So, all right. Well, in light of that, then, you know, we come through December and everyone knows that you have to put life on hold because it's Christmas and you just have to do life and do all the parties and do that. But what are you most hopeful for as we head into a new year then? What is that? Because I think for many people, the switch kind of flips and they're like, okay, now I got to be ready for this. How are you going to carry Christmas through into January?
Something that I've just been reminded about lately is the importance of just being in the Word, which sounds so simple, but it makes such a huge difference in renewing your mind and how you face every day. And so I think something about Christmas just reminds you of the power of the gospel. And I really want to carry that over and just remembering how powerful it is just to spend time with God every day. Because sometimes it's easy, like I said earlier, just to get stale, you know, but just letting that like kind of revive my spirit and draw me into that even deeper throughout the next year.
That's great.
Yeah, I think one of the things that excites me is I think about the upcoming year, and I think that it's not my job necessarily to create a bunch of stuff to do in 2017, but that God has prepared work in advance for me to do in 2017. And so it's a year that he's prepared for me and that I walk into it knowing, Lord, just give me the strength and the courage to do the work that you've prepared for me. And there's something cool about that I think sometimes we feel in life that we have to kind of go and carve our own way and figure out something to do that's significant. And there's peace in knowing God has already prepared stuff for us to do in 2017, and all we need to do is just be faithful to do that.
Yeah, I think we spend a lot of time around Christmas at those, a lot of community, a lot of fellowship, a lot of time with friends, and to be open and intentional about making sure that you have time, you know, as you move into the new year. I tend to be a creature of habit, and you know, you almost go back into the routine that you were in prior to it. You know, you get into December, okay, I'm going to be, I want to talk to these people and I want to have fellowship. And it's just to, you know, if you're serving, whatever you're doing, is to not let that just be something that stops December 31st and then you're back into your own routine in January. Is to be open, let, you know, God is going to put people and situations and things into your life, into your path, and you can choose to engage or not. And it's to really be intentional about whether it's uncomfortable, just to engage and just to keep that going.
So, yeah, that's great. Well, Merry Christmas to all of you. Have a fabulous Christmas weekend. I know, I'm so excited. So, and to all of you out there as well, again, Merry Christmas. I hope that you will be able to slow down and reflect on the many things that are great about Christmas, and remember the many things that are hard about Christmas. As Andrew said, Jesus came born to die. But in that, we have our eternal hope. So thanks, you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
For unto us a child is born, a son is given, a son is given. For unto us a child is born, a son is given. A son is given, the Messiah.
hey, everyone. You may know that last time we heard the first part of the Adventures in Odyssey Christmas special, It's a Pokenberry Christmas. Here's a little recap for you.
Last time on Adventures in Odyssey...
Well, I got a letter from Mary Barkley this morning. Things aren't going very well in Pokenberry Falls.
This church is not necessary to this town. I'm getting fed up with supporting the lazy rabble around here.
To you, a warped, frustrated, rich old man, they're sheep.
I thought I deposited the money, but the bank statement came and it wasn't on there.
I'm not bailing you out this month, Barkley. You'll have to close the church.
Well, Lord, I failed at everything.
Just think of a desperate man who may feel as if he's reached rock bottom.
Mr. Barkley, wait, stop.
Eugene, slow down. The bridge is icy. Eugene, slow down.
We can talk it out.
Eugene!
We're looking forward to the exciting conclusion of that episode today. Let's start with a big Merry Christmas to everybody. And this time of year is a lot of fun. I really love it and hope that this Christmas you'll be spending your holidays with loved ones, remembering, of course, the miraculous birth of Jesus Christ, who is the greatest gift that we've ever been given. But today's conclusion to the Adventures in Odyssey story is really heartwarming, and we hope that listening to it will remind you that God equips us even when we feel inadequate or alone. So grab another cup of hot chocolate, listen to the conclusion of It's a Pokenberry Christmas.
Are you all right?
Well, apart from acute embarrassment at my clumsiness, yes, I am. Oh, I wonder where Mr. Whittaker is. Do you suppose he ran for help?
I'd be the last to know. What in the world are you doing here?
Well, perhaps we should discuss it in warmer and drier environs.
Well, we could go back to my house, I suppose.
I believe the motel is a closer walk.
Okay, let's go. Well, are you feeling better?
Me? I feel fine. My book is soaked.
Let's see. The Success of Failure. Oh, it's by Witt.
Mm-hmm. You should see the book he's writing now.
Hey, it's dedicated to me. That's nice.
May I? Mm. To George Barkley, my inspiration for this subject.
Yeah, which, success or failure? Probably failure. I'm the poster child for it.
This is very perplexing.
What is?
Well, Mr. Whittaker and I checked in earlier today, and now I see no sign that he was ever here, apart from the book.
Well, why are you here, and why were you running and screaming on the bridge?
Well, I was trying to save you.
Save me? I thought I saved you.
Well, you saved me from the river, but I saved you from leaping to your doom.
What are you talking about? I was just thinking.
Huh?
Where'd you get such a crazy idea?
Oh. Well, Mr. Whittaker received a letter from Mary stating that you were very discouraged. We then came to visit you to offer comfort and encouragement, but upon our arrival, Mary informed us that you had disappeared. Unfortunately, I assumed the worst. The image of you on the bridge reinforced, evidently, the wrong assumption.
Well, I appreciate your concern.
I know things are bad, Pastor, but it's never so
bad. Save your sermons, Eugene. I'm not inclined to do anything drastic.
Good.
But you can be sure that I'm not a very happy man. Mm. Everything's a mess. Mm? You have no idea what it's been like for me here. As I stood on the bridge, I kept thinking that... Well, I just wish I'd never come to Pokenberry Falls. In fact, I wish I'd never become a pastor.
Well, that's not a very helpful thing to wish. What if it came true? Then all the people you've touched...
Yeah, right, touched. Everybody would be better off if I'd never become a pastor.
You shouldn't be so, wait a minute.
What?
Well, I was just thinking how familiar that concept sounded.
Yeah, I'm sorry, you'll have to speak up. It's the strangest thing. I can't hear anything out of this ear. Must have been the jump into the cold water. Are your clothes dry? Mine are. It sure warmed up fast.
They're dry. Perfectly dry, in fact. As if they'd never been wet. Curious.
I'll tell you what, Eugene. Let's find Witt and the two of you can come back to my house for dinner.
Sounds delightful. Greetings, Ms. Concierge.
Actually, the name's Heidi.
Oh.
Your last name's Horowitz, isn't it?
Uh-huh. How did you know?
Well, you know my son Jimmy. You were both part of a class camping trip. I met you at the drop-off point.
Jimmy who?
Jimmy Barkley.
I'm sorry, it doesn't ring a bell.
Well, you collected butterflies together and had to do a report for the class.
I once did a report about butterflies, but not with anybody named Jimmy Barkley. I was paired with Frederica Mathewson. Well, anyway, what can I do for you?
Well, I was wondering if perhaps you have seen John Avery Whittaker? He checked in with me earlier this afternoon.
I'm sorry, but there's no one here by that name.
But there has to be. He wouldn't have checked out without talking to me first.
That may be true, but since he never checked in the first place...
Never checked in? But that's absurd. We checked in together, simultaneously. You have my name, correct? Eugene Meltzner?
Uh-huh. You're right here. But there's no John Ivory Whittaker.
How odd.
Anything else?
No. Thank you, Ms. Concierge. Though if he happens to arrive, please tell him to call me, Eugene Meltzner, at the Barclays.
Okay.
So, what do you make of that?
Very odd.
She didn't know Jimmy.
I could attribute that to a faulty memory, but to have no record of Mr. Whittaker's arrival here when we arrived at the same time and I stood next to him while he checked us in makes no sense whatsoever. What should we do now?
I'd go back to my house, I guess. Oh. You know, I would like to make one quick stop on the way.
Huh?
Yeah, I want to stop by a bicycle shop to apologize to Mr. Welsh.
Looks closed.
He said he was about to close up. Wait, I see someone in there.
Sorry, pal, but I'm closed.
I know, but I figured since you were still here, I'd stop by to apologize.
Sure. Apologize for what?
Well, for being so angry earlier and yelling at your wife on the phone.
You talk to my wife?
Yeah, and I feel awful about it. I mean, your son was only trying to teach my son how to ride his bike. It was a kind gesture and, well, I'm just sorry.
Look, bud, what's the big idea? I live in a shack in Lionel's Field and my wife ran away 3 years ago and took my son. I haven't seen him since.
What? But that's not possible. Don't you remember I was here a couple of hours ago and I brought in my son's bike pedal? I have it right here in my... Well, I had it here. I must have lost it in the river.
Look, I don't know who you are, but I'd really like to leave now.
But you do know me. I'm George Barkley. I'll show you my driver's license. My wallet's gone, too. This is my AAA card, my... local business discount card, my Pocanberry Falls Donuts buy four, get one free punch card. Hey, what's going on here?
Beats me. Now, if you'll just...
Excuse me, Mr. Welch.
Oh, now, what do you want, you bum?
Ellis Birch.
Well, I was just wondering if you had any extra bicycle boxes I could live in this winter.
How many times have I told you not to come around here, you deadbeat? I get lost.
Now, wait a minute. You can't talk to him like that. Ellis has been a pillar of Pocanberry Falls since
he stole all that money from the church?
What?
That's right. And if you're sticking up for him, then you must be just like him. Now get lost, all of you, or I'll call the police. In fact, I think I'll call them anyway. We don't like strangers in this town.
Thanks for trying, whoever you are.
Whoever I am? Ellis, it's me, George. George Barkley.
Nice to meet you, but I gotta go to the appliance store to see if I can find a good refrigerator box to sleep in. Bye.
Merry Christmas.
Either I'm off my nut or he is. Or you are.
Me?
Yes, everything was normal until you came running across the bridge.
Yes. You know, I've been thinking about that. The consistency of this situation causes me to consider rather radical concepts.
Huh?
What if you... got your wish.
What wish?
Your wish about never coming to Pocanberry Falls or even becoming a pastor.
You're suffering from jet lag, Eugene.
Perhaps. Or it's possible that somehow our fall in the water pushed us through a time warp of some sort, which in turn brought us into this parallel time in which we are not known or recognized. Though I think it's easier to suggest that you got your wish.
Look, I don't know what you're talking about or what's wrong with everyone around here. We'll settle this thing as soon as we get home to my family.
Then lead on. So, this is your house?
Of Of course it is.
But it doesn't look like anyone has lived here for years.
This must be a trick. Somebody's playing games with me. Mary? Donna? Jimmy? Stuart?
Call it a wild stab in the dark, but I don't believe they're here.
You there. Stay right where you are.
If you insist.
What do you think you're doing here?
Home shopping?
Funny.
Mary?
Who's that?
Donna? Jimmy?
Wherever you are, get out of that house!
Officer Bond! Oh, am I glad to see you. What happened to my house? Where are my wife and kids?
Stand back, mister, and keep your hands where I can see them.
What's the matter with you, Ward? You know who I am, George Barkley. Don't you remember? I mean, you stood here on the porch and sang Christmas carols to us not 2 days ago. You go to my church.
Your church?
Yes, I'm the pastor of the First Church of Pokenberry Falls.
Now I know you're off your rocker. Why don't the two of you come along quietly and we'll get you to a nice doctor?
Look, I don't need a doctor.
If you're gonna resist...
Wait just a minute, officer. I have an explanation for this whole thing.
Yeah, like what?
We think it's possible that by a bizarre twist in the fabric of time and space, we've been hijacked to an alternate dimension, in which the two of us seem to have no identities.
What?
Are you familiar with Einstein's theories about time travel?
What?
How about wishes that come true?
What?
How about we go along peacefully and promise not to cause any trouble?
Now that sounds more like it.
Officer Bond.
Bond here.
Cat in tree, 6875 Sagewood.
Okay, I'm on my way. Listen, if I see you two clowns again, I'll put you in jail. Now move along.
Thank you, officer.
Yeah, thanks.
And Merry Christmas.
So what are we supposed to do now?
Well, I'm not quite sure, but it occurs to me that if you got your wish, then you truly aren't a pastor and must still be living where you were before you became a pastor.
You mean Odyssey?
Precisely.
We can't go all the way back to Odyssey to check out your theory.
Well, of course not, but we can call.
Call who?
Who else? You have to call yourself.
What? The recording said my old phone number had been disconnected. So much for that idea.
Maybe I should try to call Mr. Whittaker.
But we don't know where he is.
If my logic is correct, he'll be at wit's end.
How? When he checked in with you earlier this afternoon.
Ah, but if your wish came true, then he did not check in with me. In fact, he didn't come here at all. He wouldn't have needed to, since you're not here to come visit. Which means that I shouldn't be here either, but I am. Presumably because we were in the river together when the time transference took place.
This is crazy.
It was your wish, Pastor Barkley, not mine. You may want to come closer to hear what he has to say.
All right.
Wit's End, this is Wit.
Greetings, Mr. Whittaker. It is I, Eugene.
Oh, hello, Eugene. Oh, where have you been? I thought you were coming in today.
Well, I'm sorry, but I seem to have been waylaid. I'll explain later. There is someone here who would like to say hello. Here.
What, me?
Go ahead. Can't do any harm.
Hello, Eugene?
Hi, Whit. It's me, George Barkley.
George Barkley? Well, this is a surprise. Are you back in Odyssey?
Back in Odyssey? Did I leave?
Are you kidding me?
No, not at all. Where do you think I am?
Why, I wouldn't know. I mean, after you lost your job, you... Oh, I just really hate to talk about this. Don't you remember?
Look, to be honest, Whit, I don't. I'm in a really bad way right now, and I need your help. Please tell me what happened after I lost my job.
What happened? Well, you just became terribly discouraged. You lost your faith in God, and you withdrew from everyone. Well, it just got so bad that Mary and Jimmy and Donna...
And Stuart. You didn't mention Stuart.
Stuart? Who's Stuart?
Never mind. What happened to them?
Well, they left you, George. And then you disappeared, and nobody's heard from you in a couple of years at least. Oh, this is terribly awkward. Listen, why don't you tell me where you are, and I'll just come down and...
This isn't happening. It can't be happening. I'm having some kind of dream, a nightmare. My family left me. We never had Stuart. I don't understand.
Well, what's that?
It's the clock at City Hall.
Yes. Every time a clock sounds, some pastor comes around.
Huh?
Oh, I don't know why I thought of that. I think I heard it somewhere.
Look, this is ridiculous. Now, if I remember, the Christmas party and celebration for Donna's college scholarship was going to be at the church, and then it was switched to my house later. Now, maybe for some weird reason, everybody's still at the church.
You're still not willing to accept reality as it is.
No! They're at the church. They have to be. It's gone. The church is gone.
You sure this is where it was?
I'm not sure of anything anymore. All I know is this is where it should be. Lionel turned it into a golf course.
It's a lovely fairway.
This can't be true. We saved the church. We stopped Lionel from building his golf course.
Logic would dictate that since you weren't here to stop Mr. Lionel, there was no one to stop the golf course from being built.
But what about all the people we helped? The congregation, the homeless we fed at the Christmas banquet?
You weren't here to help them. Your congregation probably went elsewhere, while it's possible that the homeless didn't eat on Christmas Day. You see, Pastor Barkley, our lives touch one another in so many ways, ways we can't imagine in the pit of our discouragement. But you've been called by God, and no circumstance should ever take you away from that calling. It has eternal ramifications.
Where's my family, Eugene? How can I find them?
Honestly, Pastor, I...
Look, Eugene, I've had enough. Do you understand?
Uh-huh.
This whole thing started because I pulled you from the river. Now, where's my family? How can I find my family?
Well, why don't you try the library before it closes?
The library? Why the library?
They have the national phone directories. You can look for your family there.
Where's my family? Where's my family? They have to be in one of these directories. Where is my family?
There he is, Officer Bond. This lunatic has been tearing through our phone directories. Oh, be careful. He's a madman.
It's you again. That's it. I'm taking you in.
No, you can't. I have to find my family.
Come on. Oh. Don't put them in a fight.
No, no, don't. Eugene. Eugene. Officer, look at that giant phone book.
Look at what?
Sorry about that.
Oh, my. You fell for the old look at the giant phone book trick.
No, be quiet. Come back here, you.
Merry Christmas to you, too.
Eugene! I don't know how this happened, but help me, God. Help me, God. I want to go back. I don't care what happens to me. I'll be pastor here. I'll do whatever you want. Only get me back to my wife and kids, please. I want to live again. I want to live again. Please, God. Let me live again.
Mr. Barkley, are you all right?
Eugene?
You hit your head when you dove in to save me. I was worried for a moment there.
What?
George, Eugene, are you both all right?
Whit, you're here.
I sure am, George. Oh, yeah, that's a nasty bump on your head.
I guess I hit it on... Wait a minute. You're not in Odyssey. You're here. You're in Pokenberry Falls, and you're not surprised to see me?
Surprised to see you. We've been looking all over town trying to find you. Hey, are you sure you're all right?
And I can hear out of my left ear again. Stuart's pedal. Stuart's pedal. It's right here. What do you know about that? Merry Christmas! Merry Christmas!
Well, Merry Christmas, George.
He's going to catch a terrible cold if he doesn't get out of those wet clothes.
I'm not sure he cares.
Merry Christmas! Merry Christmas, you old movie house! Merry Christmas, you wonderful old bicycle store! Merry Christmas, you beautiful dry cleaners and tackle shop!
Are you out of your mind, Barkley? Watch where you're going! We nearly ran you over!
Merry Christmas, Mr. Lionel! Merry Christmas!
A Happy New Year to you and Rupert!
Hello.
Hello. I'm Travis Gitt from the bank.
You're here to foreclose in the church and this house, aren't you? We're out in the street. Isn't it wonderful? Mary! Oh, would you look at this beautiful, drafty old house? Mary!
Dad?
What's going on? Where have you been?
Donna! Jimmy! Look at you two. I could eat you up.
That's disgusting, Dad.
Hi, Daddy.
Stuart. Stuart, my little ginger snap.
Dad must be hungry.
How do you feel?
Okay. Not a smitch of swelling on my ankle.
Not a smitch of swelling.
A smitch?
Old Testament, kind of like a cubit. George!
Oh, Mary! Mary!
Where have you been? We've been looking all over for you.
You have no idea what's happened to me.
Oh, you have no idea either. Come into the living room. Hurry! They're on their way. Oh, we need a table. Here's one. Now, don't move. I hear them now. Oh, it's a miracle, George, a miracle. Come in, Alice. Come in, everybody.
Isn't it wonderful?
What is all this?
Mary did it, Pastor. Mary did it. She told a few people you were in trouble, and they scattered all over town collecting money. They didn't ask any questions. They just said, if Pastor George is in trouble, then count on me. You never saw anything like it.
Say, what's this, Pastor? Another night of bingo?
Hey, Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas.
Pastor George, Merry Christmas.
This is for you. Yeah.
The line forms to the right. Now, where'd I put my bank deposit?
This is amazing. It's incredible. Mr. Welsh.
I thought a lot about it, Pastor, and I decided I could do better than just fix Stuart's pedals. So here's a new bike for the little munchkin.
Thank you, Mr. Welsh.
And he can take lessons from my son anytime he wants.
Well, thank you, but I think I'll take time to teach him how to ride.
George, I'm glad you're safe and sound.
Well, thanks, Officer Bond. And listen, I'm sorry about the old, hey, look at that phone book trick. You know I'd never run from the law, except in a dream sequence.
Huh? What are you talking about?
You know, the, hey, look at the, never mind. Just enjoy the party.
Whit, Eugene.
Greetings and salutations.
Did we miss the party?
Come in.
Let's have some punch.
Yeah, I finished mine. I'll have a little more.
Yeah, I'll have some too. Oh, no. Boy.
Okay, everybody, sing along.
Oh, that's great. Let's do that.
Maybe later, Jimmy.
I'd like to propose a toast to my father, the best pastor in town.
Yes, to the best pastor in town, George.
Actually, I'm the only pastor in town.
I brought a book for you, George.
The Success of Failure, a Christian Perspective. Thank you, Whit. Oh, you wrote in it.
What's it say?
To George Barclay, remember, no man is a failure who loves God.
Thanks for the wings, George.
Wings?
Mm-hmm. The buffalo wings. They're excellent. My favorite. Mm.
Hey, Daddy. My Sunday school teacher says every time a clock sounds, a pastor comes around.
That's right. That's right. Isn't it, Eugene?
I'm not entirely sure I understand its meaning.
I don't get it either.
I think it means that... No, that doesn't make sense.
Well, mathematically speaking, and depending on the make of the clock, you might hear it strike as much as 156 times per day, even more if it strikes on the quarter hours.
Does that mean pastors can only be right 156 times a day?
Oh, that's silly. George is never right that much.
But he's right when it counts.
Okay, everybody, sing along.
Thank you.
Well, folks, we are finishing out the show, and we have Joshua Rogers back here at the Boundless Show to weigh in on one of our questions. Hey, Joshua.
What's up, Lisa?
Hey, Merry Almost Christmas to you, since we're, you know, Christmasing here at the Boundless Show. So, and this is kind of interesting because this question is applicable because as we head into the new year, a lot of people are going to be trying online dating again and that kind of stuff. So I love this question. This is my friends and I have talked about this kind of thing numerous times. So I'm interested to see what you have to say about this. One of our listeners says, I've been talking with a guy from a dating app for a few weeks who lives far away. I don't want to drag this out if we're not even on the same page on the basic areas. I already know he believes in Jesus, but I'm having a hard time coming up with other questions. We obviously aren't supposed to marry just any Christian who walks into our lives, but how do we tell the difference between a good Christian guy and potential husband material? What are some potential deal breakers?
This is a great question. I'm so glad to hear you're asking it. And the reason why is because so many people, I think in particular, you know, we've met a lot of women through Boundless, get tangled up in these weird online relationships, and they're not open to hearing people who care about them urge caution. And I actually think that you can tell a lot about a man's character based upon how he's engaging with you online. I would first of all recommend Lisa's book, The Dating Manifesto, just because I think it addresses a lot of this stuff thoroughly and gets into the pitfalls of online dating. She's got some great advice there. But here's what I say about deal breakers. 6 points here. Number one, I would ask how much of your connection to this guy is electronic, either messaging or over the phone, despite the fact that you've been talking for a while. I mean, is he willing to come see you? Or does he expect that you're going to make the trip and pay for it yourself? His unwillingness to initiate further is his way of demonstrating, I am not interested. Trust him on that and don't ignore it. Number two, I would ask, is this guy really curious about me? Is he really studying you, who you are, but not in some sort of creepy or judgmental way? If all he's doing is talking about himself, then he's not actually interested in you. He's probably more interested in being interested in somebody. Number three, big one, does he have close male friends? If he doesn't and he's single, then he has practically no accountability and a quarterly meeting with his pastor does not count. He's probably got some major sin issues in a number of areas, and you can count on one of those being sexual sin. So you don't want to find out what those are once you're in a really deep relationship or a marriage with them. I mean, can we agree on that? Number four, if he was in a previous relationship, get him to talk about it. If he starts to get negatively emotional in some way when he talks about it and he keeps doing that, mark my words, he's still tangled up in the relationship and there's going to be limited room for you as a result. Now, along those lines, the fifth thing I'd say is just keep your ears open for any indicators of people he hasn't forgiven. People who tend to not be forgiving will constantly be bringing up offenses. If he's somebody like that, please keep in mind that one of the most important qualities of a future spouse is someone who's forgiving. Without that, your marriage will be miserable. Mark my words. It's one of the reasons I have a happy marriage. Number six, ask him if he's got any debt. If he does and he's not taking steps to responsibly deal with it, run. You do not want those kinds of problems in your relationship. You will end up paying it one way or the other. I just want to close by saying, look, wanting to have romance can create a lot of internal static, and it makes it harder to hear from the Holy Spirit. That's why it's so critical to bring other people in. I want to, again, encourage you to get Lisa's book, The Dating Manifesto. It really goes into practical ways that you can deal with this. Get it as a Christmas present for yourself, for your friends, a belated Christmas present, a New Year's present. It's a great resource to answer a lot of these questions.
Yeah. Hey, thanks, Joshua, so much. I guess I need to just reread my book. My goodness, I'm going to need some insight as I, if I choose to go into this area in the future. One other thing I just wanted to add from a female perspective is that I've noticed in the past is if this guy is like pushing you for a lot of information about yourself, or he is initiating flirty or even suggestive talk. I mean, there are a lot of guys that are self-described Christians that go into that space, and that's not really honoring of you as a woman and as a Christian, and that's not protecting protective of you. So I think that's a big red flag, as is the way that he talks about his faith and his relationship with Christ. If he initiates conversations, if he evidences that he's real, involved in his church and stuff, and it's not just like, well, of course I'm a Christian, I fly an American flag or whatever, you know, I mean, not ridiculousness like that. So I think Joshua would concur. A lot of those things kind of dovetail with what you had to say as well, Joshua. So I just thought I'd throw in my little two cents there. But that's great advice, and just also great conversation starters, as this woman is asking, you know, what should she actually talk about? So great points. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Well, folks, that is it for this week's show. We do want to hear from you. Write to us at editor@boundless.org so we can answer your question in the future. Also, hop over to the blog and make sure you're commenting on this week's show, what you think and anything that's been helpful to you related to a question like this or the other things that we discussed. That is it for this week's show. Merry Christmas, everyone. Hope you are enjoying the holiday and that you are ready for a super great new year. We are here at The Boundless Show. I'm Lisa Anderson for The Boundless Show.
The Boundless Show is a production of Boundless.org, focus on the family.